soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on November 29, 2018. Just in recent days, I've been sharing from Philippians chapter 3 and Galatians 1 and many other texts where the Lord has outlined the erring ways of so-called elders and so-called fathers that had rejected God's commandment and introduced the words of men as commandments and taught them to the religious people. It was a horrible thing, a wicked thing. And God had discussed this. It's recorded in Isaiah chapter 29, 10 through 13. When the religious system goes astray from the Lord and speaks of him and talks about him and goes through religious motions, even doing music and sacrifices and prayers, but their heart is really far from the Lord, it's offensive to God. And God sends blindness, spiritual blindness to the leaders, seers, prophets, rulers, in the case of Isaiah chapter 29, because of this very thing. And Jeremiah had spoken of this wickedness, and he was not speaking of Baal worshipers or all the other worshipers of other gods of other nations, but he was talking of those that even made mention of the Lord. And he said this in Jeremiah chapter 9, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had hid in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they all be adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have not taught their tongue to speak, but they have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lays his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and a wailing, for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burned up, so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of cattle. Both the fowl of the heavens and the beasts are fled, they're gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps, and a den of dragons, and I will make the cities of Judah desolate, without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perishes and is burned up like a wilderness that none passes through? And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law which I set before them and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after their own imagination of their own heart and after Baalim, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. And I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Many other things the Lord declared. I'm going to take you to Jeremiah chapter 12. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you of your judgments. Wherefore does the way of the wicked prosper? Again, we're not talking about heathen. We're talking about God's people, Israel, Judah, who he set his law. He spoke by his voice, led them, did many such great things. And these things are true to this very day. That's why we're talking about this. The corruption that creeps in and the heart of the people goes from the Lord. But notice what we're about to hear. Why are they happy that deal very treacherously? Jeremiah asked the Lord. You have planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow, yet they bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouth and far from their reins or their heart. Nothing is new under the sun. And we're talking about these fathers, these elders, the leaders of institutional religion, builders, that is in 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 8, discusses, reject the very chief cornerstone that's elect and precious in the sight of God, that God is building a spiritual habitation. It's his assembly. It's his house. And Jesus himself said that he would build his church, as it's written, translated in English. But it's his ecclesia. The ones that are called out of the world, and certainly called out of hypocrisy and abomination, every man doing what is right in his own eyes. I wanted to share this text from the phrase, the workers of iniquity, which Jesus spoke of several times. And he was speaking of the second coming when he arises as Lord, as Master, as Judge, to bring judgment upon the wicked and those that wrought great arrogant speeches against the Lord. And he comes in flaming fire with a company of his angels and the glory of the Father. And every eye will see him, and all the tribes of earth will mourn because of him. It's written in Revelation. And Jesus says, the master of the house rises up and shuts to the door. And he spoke to the religious ones and said, and you'll find yourselves on the outside of the door, in outer darkness, knocking. And then they will say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says, I do not know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And they're completely shocked because they had done all this religious things, great works, sat in his presence, heard the teachings, cast out demons, prophesied, did many religious things. But they were working iniquity. And this phrase is 21 times in the Bible. 21 times. Psalm 6 verse 8 says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Psalm 28:3 said, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Doesn't that sound like what we just read in Jeremiah? Who are these fathers that introduce abomination? Well, Jesus told the Pharisees that God knew they were covetous, and God knew their heart. And he said, you are they which justify yourselves before men, and God knows your heart. And he said that that which is esteemed in the eyes of men is an abomination in the eyes. God has spoken. He's given us the scriptures, the word of God, the it is written, the forever settled in heaven word, not one jot, not one tittle will pass away from the law till all was fulfilled. And Jesus literally did fulfill every single thing that was commanded of his Father, including our redemption through faith in his blood. Hallelujah. And Jesus warned over and over to his disciples, and his disciples recalled what he had said as the Holy Spirit was given to them to abide in them and to remind them all the things the Lord had said and warned. That the religious system would even beat you in synagogues, thinking they were doing God's service, they would even kill you. Elders and fathers that introduce doctrines, the commandments of men, is an abomination in the sight of the Lord. They're builders that reject the cornerstone. They will not submit themselves to the Lord. They will not keep his commandments. They will not heed his voice. They censor the Lord. It's the same today. And they institutionalize. They use the scripture to give veracity, a semblance of authenticity. But it's corrupt and it's false. It has no witness of the Spirit. It has no power. For it is written in the scriptures, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." I speak to people that are in the church world, like the Lord would send Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 into synagogues. With the word of the Lord, with God has spoken to us, and we are to declare it in the land. Nothing's new. Jesus did this. John the Baptist did this. Paul did this. The prophets, the apostles, the disciples, the saints. In Mark chapter 7, 2 through 12, Jesus answered the question of the Pharisees why his disciples do not keep the tradition of the elders. They were asking, what's up with your disciples, Jesus? But we have to remember, people use titles and call themselves elders, but they're not even disciples. When Jesus says, don't call yourself a title, rabbi or master, and don't call others father in this religious hierarchy sense. But they do it anyway in today's world, don't they? He spoke negatively about the strangers, the thieves and the robbers, the wolves and the hirelings, which work for a corporation. This is what's done on every corner. They are the ones that build an institution, incorporate it, get a 501c3 license from the state. It's a total sham and abomination. It's not of God, and God is commanding repentance. And this is what Jesus told the Jews. Have you never read in the scriptures that the stone that the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eye. And then Jesus said, whoever falls upon this rock will be broken, but whoever it falls upon, it will grind him to powder. And this they perceived, he was speaking of them, and they understood quite correctly the parable. Do you understand this, ladies and gentlemen? That Jesus cannot be Lord in word only, in lip service only, but he calls you to do the will of the Father. Those are the ones that will be in the eternal kingdom, and the others will be on the outside. All the workers of iniquity, all the ones that are disobeying and offering to God like Cain, things out of the earth, things they manufacture that God has no pleasure in. God is pleased with Jesus, and he's well pleased. He's the way. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is true because I seek not my own will. The elders, in name only, the fathers that are exalted over the religious people introduce false doctrines, false customs, abominable things. And they boast in these things. And today, they divide the body of Christ and put a name brand, put a celebrity promoter. The whole system is based on spectatorism and performances, and the people pay for it. They pay for what they want to hear and do. Jesus declared that these elders and fathers lay aside the commandment to hold their tradition. They reject the commandment of God to keep the tradition. Their worship is in vain. They made void of no authority the word of God. They put man's word as superior. This is what's going on. And the Lord is calling his people out of corruption. There's a satanic plot to bring the people into a universal one world government, one world religion. and it's underway. They're creating a net. They're using all the influences over education, the government, commerce, religion. They appoint men that are appointed to lead the people that are even globalists, such as one as Rick Warren. And they introduce the leaven, and they leaven the people because the people sit under their influence where they've not sought the Lord. We're talking about coming out. The Lord calls you out of this. He's called me out of this. And he's going to let the wicked stay in it. Paul was an Israelite, tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, a Pharisee of Pharisees, concerning the law, zealous. But he was very, very deceived by the whole thing, where he was persecuting the assembly of the Lord, the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ that Jesus died for. He was killing them. And Jesus appeared to Paul. And the Lord had mercy upon Paul and called him. It was God's the Father's will to reveal Jesus Christ, the Son, in Paul. And he showed him and gave him the gospel by revelation. Paul did not learn it by man. He did not go to a school. He forsook all that. And that's what Philippians 3 says, forgetting those things which are behind. That's what he was referring to. Religion, the elders, the fathers, the abomination, hindering people that would go into the kingdom of God, blocking the way, laying on things, people, errors and lies and deceit and fraud. In Galatians 1, Paul begins by stating he was a sent one, an apostle of Jesus Christ, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Think on this, please. There's a one reason why Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is speaking this way. Verse 6, Paul stated, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. That's from the Father. That's point one. I'm amazed that you've abandoned him. Point two, that him is God the Father who called you into the grace of Christ. The third point here, and here we go again, rejecting the commandment and word of God, the gospel of Christ, for another, which is not another. Point four, there are some doing this dastardly evil. And who are they? They are those who would trouble you by perverting the gospel of Christ. Think about how serious this is. Paul says it once, then he repeats it again, the second time. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. The next verse, Paul makes it clear. He's not a people pleaser. He solely is dedicated to the faithfulness to the Father, to please him, serve him. He's fully aware that we all must give account since God tries our heart. Paul said, we can't please God and man. We have to decide. And if we're to please man, we cannot be the servant of Christ. Period. Who are you serving, ladies and gentlemen? The Pharisees and scribes made a terrible eternal mistake. And that was all they cared about was what man thought. Everything was calculated for public reaction. How to get their money, how to extract their lives. Because they were wolves in sheep's clothing, and they would gnaw all night on the bone until they got every single morsel. So they'll tell the people what they want to hear. They won't tell you that you got to hate your life in this world. They won't tell you to hate the world, turn from the world, be crucified to the world, and the world crucified to you. They won't tell you that you have to love the Lord over every relationship, over every possession, your own life included. And Jesus likened it to like salt that was with savor. But when the salt has lost its savor, it's not good for anything but to be thrown away. And then Jesus said, men will trample it underfoot. These are eternal things. Ladies and gentlemen, Judaism was created by man. Catholicism was created by men. They're the same builders. They have the same fruit, the same MO, even many same doctrines and manners and ways, but they're not of the ways of the Lord. And the isms have been continued throughout history, dividing up the body of Christ when the body of Christ is not divided. How long will you ignore what is written, I ask? Verse 11, Galatians chapter 1, I certify to you the gospel which was preached to thee is not after man. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the way the Lord teaches. It's by illumination. The entrance of God's word brings light. We have the eyes of our understanding enlightened. That by revelation, it's not new scripture, it's us being able to receive it. For the Lord hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but reveals them to babes. Paul had gone to the rabbi schools. He had gone and learned the letters. He'd gone through the courses of getting masters and doctorates and the honorable degrees before man. And he counted all those things but dung. All of it, that he could win Christ. Got to ask yourself, what is it you really want? Is it the praise of man? The money of man? To be esteemed in the eyes of man? Or to hear the Lord tell you, good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom. We've already established that this is the way of Jesus. It is the way of the kingdom of God. Jesus did not get his doctrine from man. He did not get his letters from the various rabbinic schools. He got it from the Father. He was commanded to him. He was taught it, he said. It was shown to him, he said. And he heard from the Father. These are the things that Jesus did and taught. Reading the Gospel of John will illustrate this wonderfully. Just read it. Paul, who was a chief example of the Pharisees of the Jewish religion, Judaism, was steeped in the doctrines and commandments of men. He learned it well and excelled, he said, to the point being so deceived, he zealously persecuted and ravaged the assembly of Jesus Christ. And now we see why Paul relays humility and loving the grace and mercy and truth of God that is in Jesus Christ. For Paul did those things in ignorance and unbelief. And therefore he found grace and mercy. Praise the Lord. Verse 13 relays this, Paul's testimony of his zeal, as also Philippians 3, of his fleshly religious mastery. Verse 14, and he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, God is exposing by the light of his word the diabolical nature of the religion of men, created by the elders and fathers throughout history. Different labels, the same spirit. And it's not of God. This is what Philippians 3 and Galatians 1 are relaying to those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Verse 15 and 16, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might proclaim him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. That's verse 17. There's a reason for this. And there's many of us that have come out of some sort of ism, and then we go right into a different type of ism. But that isn't what the Lord would have us do, is it? We need to be taught of the Lord, purified by the Lord, and come out of all the profane and the unclean things. And then God says, I will teach you, I will instruct you, I will guide you with my eye. No way, Paul had met the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ in full glory, and he recognized that he was on the wrong side with God, harming his people. And this is why Paul did not confer with flesh and blood as the manner of institutional religion has been throughout time. No, not the elders or fathers. No, not even with bona fide apostles of Jesus. Paul sought at the feet of Jesus, as it were, and unlearned the hypocrisy and falsehood, the traditions, the commandments of men, all the manners and ways that violated the word of God and put people into bondage. Praise the Lord. Paul was taught of the Lord, as we all should. So important to share this with you. And here's where we're at today, prophetically. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 13. Verse 5. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John to their minister. So the Lord Jesus, as head of the body of Christ, gave instructions and sent Paul and Barnabas as delegates, as ambassadors, were ambassadors of Christ. And they were instructed what to minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. There are wicked people that want to keep people from the Lord. They wear sheep's clothing. And Saul, who's called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, and being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Note this. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue, which are the overlords, which Jesus said his kingdom does not rule that way, in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, the ruler of the synagogue said unto them, saying, You men and brethren, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience. And Paul proclaimed the history of the Jewish and Israel people, the history of God's testing, how they provoked God, and the various things that God had done, his grace, his mercy, his power. And they heard gladly, and he proclaimed Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, and how it was written in the Psalms and the Scriptures. All these things, and the people heard gladly. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. But when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And on the next Sabbath came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You see, ladies and gentlemen, religion hates the truth. It hates the grace of God. It hates the presence of the Lord. And you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to oppose the Lord, or are you going to be with the Lord?